Open up to John chapter 4 is where we'll be looking tonight. John chapter 4. And as you're turning there, we'll just sort of briefly summarize the context here to get us ready. We're going to be looking at verses 31 through 35. But this is a point in Jesus' ministry early on, but he's just prior to this passage, he's left out of Judea where Jerusalem is, and he's headed into Galilee where he plans to continue his ministry. And en route, he's stopping in the village of Samaria. And there we know the story, basically, I think, of his conversation, his discourse with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. We see in verse 6 an important point that will help us as we come to our text of chapter 4, where he comes to the well in the middle. He's wearied from his traveling, from his journeys, and tired. So he stops by this well he finds here in Samaria. And this is where the events are going to take place of our passage. And he goes through and he deals with this woman and her need for fulfillment and satisfaction in life, her emptiness of life. He brings this out before us and before her and offers the living water, the living water. And we come to our passage, the disciples in this conversation, they've gone off to attend to their master's needs, to bring back food and provisions to refresh him. And they return, and in verse 31 is where we pick up, where he's dealt with the woman of Samaria. And the disciples return in verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are already white for harvest." Let us pray. Pray, Lord, that you would help us in our hearts to give heed to your word, the truth of it. Pray, Lord, that your spirit would fill us and work among us, Lord. We pray that you'd help us to examine ourselves and see where you would have us to change. That you would work in our hearts and lives to bring us closer to you, to draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. An aspect of life here is very important, is brought before us by Jesus. We already looked in verse 6 how he's weary, he's tired from this journey. He comes to the well, ready for some help, ready for some provisions. But coincidentally, it would almost seem, he wasn't intending to stop here in Samaria. He was planning to go on to Galilee. But in the midst of this journey, the opportunity for ministry arises. And he was not, as we said, apparently planning or intending this, but it came about as a part of his love for people, his compassion for people, and he stopped and he helped this woman. His disciples, on the other hand, they didn't see what was going on. They were gone, they were away, and they return and they say, "Master, we brought the food for you, we brought what you needed, you're weary and tired, you've allowed us to go on to care for things, and here we brought it back, eat." But he surprises them at this point, and he says to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." They didn't understand exactly what he was talking about. They were trying to figure out where he had gotten food from. We see an important point is brought to us in our perspective about life that's very essential, that as Christians we ought to understand, and you almost want to take it for granted that Christians have this perspective in life, but it brings to the fore the spiritual aspect of life, that Christians living life are not living simply for day-to-day provisions and the cares of the world. There's a whole other side of existence for the Christian. The Christian looks at life from the spiritual perspective and says, there's more to life than caring for the body and caring for the basic needs and provisions of life. There's this entire aspect of the spiritual life and feeding, what you might say, feeding your soul, caring for the spiritual life. The disciples, they needed help at this point. They didn't understand what he was saying because they were thinking in terms of this world's cares and this world's affairs. Jesus had his mind and his focus on the other aspect of life. The more important aspect of life is what we've been reminded of just recently, to put our heart on the things above, to set our mind to the things of heaven rather than the things of earth. And this is what Jesus is living before us and teaching his disciples in this passage, and hopefully teaching us as well, that there's this other side of life, the spiritual side of life, that we must not neglect. We must not put our mind and our hearts and our focus on the things of this world to the point of neglecting feeding our spiritual souls. And that's just something that's very important for us to deal with, to put attention towards, to consider the fact that we as Christians must make it our priority to be seeking God and to be nourishing our souls rather than the things of this world. And so that's the first point to understand, to recognize, and to pursue, is to realize the Christian life is about the things of God. That if we have any type of eternal perspective, we understand life is short. This is just a brief time. It'll be gone in just a moment, but eternity awaits. There's eternity ahead of us. Our souls are eternal. The value of the soul, as Jesus taught us. You can gain the whole world, and yet if you lose your soul, it's all for naught. What would you give in exchange for your soul? We get caught up in the busyness of life, the ready day in and day out, things that needs take our attention. We live in this world. We cannot just ignore all things of this world. We do live in this world. But what happens is we get so wrapped up and consumed in them, in our jobs, in our work, and in our just busyness of life, that we soon lose sight, it seems, of the spiritual side of life, the key to which what we've been called to in life. And so that's the first point to understand and recognize and to examine ourselves to see, are we so caught up in the things of this world and the things of life, even those things that are necessary, and many times the things that are not, but even in the things that are necessary, have they clouded our sight as we've lost sight of the purpose of life? Our lives are not about the physical and the earthly and the worldly and the temporal. Life is about that which is eternal. And that's a whole different perspective. And we must keep the two in balance. We cannot, as we said, ignore the things of the world. We have to deal with these. We have to live in this world for the time being. But that's not the point. And we must be careful. We must do whatever it takes to take away the distractions of this world, to limit ourselves in a sense as much as possible, and say, must I really be busy with that? Are there not other things that are more important in life? And so the question comes to us, are we feeding our soul, as Jesus is talking about here? Food, nourishment, sustenance, that which brings life and helps us to carry on. Is that our perspective about things? This is how He views things. There's this balance in life, and Jesus is very much consumed with the things of eternal natures, eternal matters. And we need to challenge ourselves and examine ourselves to see, are we feeding our souls this way? And so the question arises to us, how is it that we go about feeding our souls? Where is this food? What is this food that feeds our souls, that nourishes more than the temporary bodies that are doomed for destruction anyways? What about our eternal soul? How do we give attention to that? And one thing that is very important that is not here so much in this passage, but relates to this whole concept of feeding your soul, is this question of devotion. This question of pursuing Christ and seeking Christ intimately, one-on-one in this relationship. That's very, very important. Jesus said elsewhere in the book that He's the bread of life. That as we feed on Christ, in a sense, we find life. In fact, with this woman, just before this in this passage, in a sense, it is brought before us, that she has this emptiness in life. She's seeking for satisfaction, for fulfillment, and she cannot find it. But in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, we find it offered to her. Wells of water springing up into eternal life. This satisfaction, this inner joy and peace and life that is so essential to us. And so that question is, are we seeking that? Are we pursuing that? Do we desire to feed our souls? Are we pursuing an intimacy with Christ? A closeness with Christ? Do we spend, so many of our songs are so helpful that we sing. Do we spend much time in secret seeking God, seeking Christ? Are we pursuing His face? The sweet hour of prayer that we just sang. That talks about something that, do we know anything about that type of an attitude? Do we long for prayer? Is it something that is sweet to us? Not the sweet moment or minute of prayer, but the sweet hour of prayer. How many times have we turned to it, as the song talks about? That song was just, it ought to have been, a testimony of our lives' existence, of our experience in life. That ought to be what we're talking about, what we know as Christians. Do we feed on His Word? Prayer, that closeness of whatever form, different ways we take it. So essential to be pursuing Christ in that sense. Do we long for and are we drawn to Him? That's something that has been important for us to learn lately. We've been called to this seeking of Christ, pursuing of Christ. This, in a sense, this purifying of ourself, this coming to love and long for Christ more. What we talked about just in our sermon, the question of, is Christ this pearl of great price that we're willing to give up all for? Do we view Him that way? Is He the one that is above all else? We sang this morning, no, not one. Is there a friend like Christ? Not a one. And do we view things this way? Do we feed our souls? Do we revel in spending time with Christ intimately and closely? And when we talk about feeding our soul, that most oftentimes is the thought that comes to our minds first, I believe. If I were to ask us in this room, what do you do to feed your soul? You think, I read my Bible. I pray every day. We sing songs like this. Read our Bible, pray every day, you will grow, grow, grow. And those are so important, so true. And yet they can also become so superficial at times that we go through the motions, we go through the routine. But my question is it really truly nourishing your soul? Do you find yourself being drawn to Christ, loving God more, seeking His glory? Is that truly our priority and our love and our longing? Are we drawn to Him? Let us feed our souls in that way. But there's another side of things that may or may not come to mind so quickly. And this is what Jesus actually brings before us here. His food that He's talking about here, that which feeds and nourishes His soul, is not so much a matter of this intimate, peaceful devotion with Christ, this longing and pursuing of God and holiness and closeness. He's dealing with something, another side of things. And the two complement each other. But what He says here, in our key verse in a sense, is verse 34, "My food, that which nourishes my soul, keeps me going day by day, is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." That spending time with Christ, spending time in prayer, those are so vital to spiritual growth, to nourishment of the soul. But all that, apart from involvement in the work of God, will not lead you to spiritual growth. Those things will lead us to an involvement in the working of God. That Jesus brings before us a principle that's so important. He says, "I long for, I live for, day by day, to do the work of God, to fulfill what He has given me to do, to carry out His will and see it accomplished." Is that our attitude? Do we look around us and say, "Yes, I want to live day by day, seeking Christ, spending time in His Word, praying before Him, reveling in His presence"? But when that happens, when you spend time intimately with Christ, when you are drawn close to the Holy Spirit, do you then find yourself longing to see other people carrying about the work of God in their lives? The work of God is what is Jesus' food here. To do His will, to do His work, see it accomplished. Is that our spirit? This proper relationship between work of God, devotion with Christ, we have to maintain that. And the two complement each other, as we said. We see this in Jesus' life. We find that different times he draws back in private, so it would be, needing a time of rest in a sense, a time of fellowship with God and prayer. And he goes off into the mountains or to the woods or to the hills by himself, seeking a time of peace and quiet. And we find times when that is so necessary in our lives. But Jesus' life was filled with compassion for people. And when he even sought these times, it would seem, at different occasions, remember the feeding of the 5,000, that never would have occurred had Jesus' plan been carried out from the start, in a sense. He had set off to find a time of peace and quiet and rest with his disciples alone, away from the crowds. But when he saw people needing help, guidance, and fulfillment in their lives, his heart was drawn to them, and he said, "Gather them around. Let us teach them. Let us help them." The compassion that moved Christ, that as we spend time in devotion with Christ, that spurs us on to want to do the work of God. That causes us to care and love for people, to seek out God's glory in the world and around us, and in our church, in our families, in our lives. That is a natural result of this devotion with Christ. And if our devotional lives, if our reading and prayer life do not urge us to that and move us to that, there's something wrong with that. We probably have a superficial devotional life. It's probably not the depth of what it needs to be. The outgrow of that will be that we long to do the work of God. We long to do the will of God. That is what the Holy Spirit will move us to desire and move us to long and care for and commit our lives towards. He calls us to that. And if we're spending time in His presence and time with Him, He will call us to love and long for, to live in doing His work and doing His will. That's an essential part of things. My question arises then, what is the work of God? Here it is, that which nourishes Christ. His work, His food is to do the work of God, to do the will of God. And what is it? Well, He gives it right before us in this passage. He displays to us what is the work He's talking about. He's using the gospel, spreading God's truth and God's love to change people's lives. This woman who had came to the well empty, came to the well broken lives, broken heart, but leaves satisfied, fulfilled, and loving God, serving Him, spreading this news to others, and this dramatic transformation that takes place in his life. My question is this: Do we so live that we long to see people's lives changed? Is that what nourishes us and brings us to life? That we go day, if we went days without eating, we would be starving. We'd be hungry. Our bellies would tell us. When we go days without being involved in the work of God and working to help people's lives be changed, do we look around this church and say, oh, I want my brother and my sister in Christ around me to love God more. I want this lost soul here to come to know Christ. Is that our mindset? Is that what lives within us that urges us to be that, to desire that? Is that within us to be working the will of God and doing His work and His will? Is that within us to do so? So challenging, so probing to consider ourselves. Is that what we long for? Do we find ourselves before God in prayer and our thoughts turned to those things? Even as we spend time in secret, even as we spend time before the throne, we ought not just be reveling in it. There's also this thought of saying, Lord, help these others. Lord, help us as a people. Help this church. Help this community. Help us be spreading Your work, doing Your will among us. Help us to see lives changed. Is that what we desire? Do we long to see lives changed? This is the work of God. This is the will of God, to bring people's lives, bring sinners to repentance, people to love what is good and love what is right, to uplift God and His glory and His goodness. That is the work of God. Do we long for it? Are we caught up in ourselves? Are we caught up in the things of this world? The disciples, they missed out. They didn't see it at this point. They were concerned with not negative things, not bad things. They were providing food for Jesus. He was weary. He was tired. But Jesus said, at this point, there's something more important. Something that is more within me than food and drink. As far as we know, He never got the drink that He asked for from this woman. Perhaps He did. Doesn't say so entirely. But He leads into this conversation, this ministry. And it's within Him to desire above all else to be doing the work and the will of God. The work of God is to see people's lives changed. I would love to see our church rising up and desiring Christ more. To be putting aside all the things that are irrelevant and inconsequential in life. That there's be something in us, that our men and our families would rise up and be pursuing Christ more than we are. That our lives would be more changed. That lost souls around us would come to Christ. That is the longing of a Christian's heart. Amen. And longing of people who are seeking the work and the will of God. Is that our food? Is that our sustenance and our nourishment? That which keeps us going, as it were. You notice how Jesus here, we pointed out, He comes, He's not even meaning or intending or planning to stop here in Samaria in a sense. He's traveling on to Galilee. In fact, the reason He stopped here is for the well, it would say. Yes, we know God's wisdom and He knows all things and how things are working out. But everything about it, the passage indicates He's on His way to Galilee. And yet what happens? He says, I'm going to set aside food. I'm going to set aside my nourishment. I'm going to set aside my plans. And I'm going to spend time because there's an opportunity here to see God's work done and God's will accomplished. You see, He set aside everything else. Somewhat of pressing matters, wearied from the day's travels and journey, wearied and thirsting and hungering and intending to go on to ministry in Galilee. But the Lord, in His wisdom, He knew there were people here that were hungering and thirsting and needing their lives to be changed. When was the last time that we set aside our plans? The last time that we set aside our desires or even physical needs as nourishment here because we were so consumed and starving to be a part of God's work? Is that our spirit? Is that our attitude? Do we so long for those things that everything else gets set aside? Do we get caught up in the work before us, the opportunity as it comes? You see, the disciples, they were the opposite of this, in a sense here. They looked and said, as Jesus in His words, they looked at the harvest and they say, 4 months, and then the harvest. There's time for that later. But that's not what you say when you hunger. That's not what you say when you thirst. You say, I need to meet this need. Jesus says, look at the fields. They're around us. They're white for harvest. Don't be so concerned with things that are passing and unimportant. Be concerned with the things of God. Live on and feed on doing the work and the will of God. Put aside everything else. The things that don't matter, the things that are inconsequential, even the things that are necessary yet less important and not eternal. That is not what the Christian lives for. The Christian lives and desires and longs to do the work and the will of God. And that is the principle before us. How can this happen? Only as God works in our hearts to bring it to us. You see, this is within Christ to do this. It's hungering and thirsting. It's talking about who you are, what your nature is. It's internal. This is not something I can force upon somebody. I cannot force it upon myself. You cannot bring it about in your life. But it must be the work of God in you to bring about that you love and long for and desire in your heart and in your life. That this is what you live for. This is within you. It's part of your nature to hunger for things. Oh, that we would pursue that. That we would seek that. That we would be begging God to put it within us to long and hunger for these things. Do we hunger for them? You see, it's part of our nature, if that's true. And you cannot change your nature, but God can. And God will. He is faithful. As we pursue the things of God, as He draws us to Himself, as He works in our lives and in our hearts, we will find that it's just within us to want to do the work of God. And it's within us to do the will of God. And that this is our desire, and this is our hunger, and this is our longing. It's that which we cannot live without and which we live for. Put the work of God first. Put the things of God first, as Jesus said. Jesus taught us all this. He showed it to us in His life. He said, "Seek ye the things of God, the things of the kingdom of God first. Everything else will take care of itself." You put the things of God first. You make that your priority. And God will work in your life. God will work in the lives around this church, around our families, in this community, this city, this town, this county. God will be faithful. If we are faithful, He will work within us to make us long for and hunger for these things. And that is what, in a sense, we ought to be seeking. We ought to be seeking, God, put it in us. Put it in my heart. Put it in myself and my nature that I long for these things. That I long to be doing Your work and Your will. And that's a way in which we can judge and evaluate ourselves, in a sense. How much do we long for these things? How much is it within us? How much is it in our heart and part of our nature to be serving God and desiring the things of God to be done? See, God, in His wisdom, He has entrusted to people the work of reconciling people to God. One difficulty we may look and be careful of is when it says that He finished His work. So that my food is to do the will of Him who sent me to finish His work. He doesn't mean that in the person of Christ and in Christ's time, everything was done. There's nothing left to be done. We must understand this in the sense of He's accomplishing the work of God. But remember what it says, that Paul talks about this ministry, this work being entrusted to us. That's a burden. That's a responsibility. And it ought to be our longing to carry this out. Remember what Paul said, and it's a challenge to think about it various times in my life. He writes and he says to the churches, he considers the fact of that God has established people who love Him and His ways. And he says, "Now I live. Now I truly live because You're standing firm in the Lord." You see, Paul understood somewhat of what it meant to say my food and my life is wrapped up in the things and the work of God. That apart from seeing people, that their lives have been changed, apart from seeing people whose lives are completely different, who've been rescued from the domain of darkness, they've turned away from idolatry and the things of the world, and now they're in this relationship with Christ and pursuing goodness and right and the glory of God. Now that Paul sees this, he says, "Now I can say I have life. Now I can say my life has meaning. My life has purpose, and there's some reason that I have lived." Remember when he talks about, I desire to be away from here. I desire to go and be with Christ. But then he says, "But I know that God has plans for me to stay." But why to stay? Because of the people to minister to. Because that's the... apart from that, Paul says, there's no even point in my being here. Amen. Apart from that, I might as well be with Christ, which is better for me. But no, there are people here. And there's work to be done here. Do we hunger for it and long for it? Is it part of our nature that this is what we starve for? You see, with Christ, that was His desire. That was His will. He fed on and hungered for and lived and was nourished by doing the work of God and doing the will of God. And you see what happened as a result. If Christ had not had this attitude, this spirit, how many of these Samaritans would have ever come to believe in God and serve Him? But the result is, when He set aside nourishment and plans, He set aside the things of this world, and He said, "Let me minister to this need before me." He saw the harvest and His heart went out to it, and these many Samaritans come to believe. And He spends 2 days there. Doesn't matter that He was planning to go on to Galilee. No, there's a ministry here. There's opportunity. There are people who need help. People who need their lives changed. You see, when we begin to see things that way, and we begin to be drawn to God, He will put it in our hearts to be drawn to love people and care for their souls and see their lives change, to accomplish His work and do His will. If we wish to see that in our church, and I pray that we do, I pray that we long for people's lives to be changed, people in this church and people outside of this church. If we wish to see that, we must do as Christ did. We must set aside the things of this world and the plans that we may have and our interests and our hobbies and our time-consuming things. We must even be willing to sacrifice what were regular needs of life, basic necessities of life, and say, we'll come to those at some point, but right now we have other matters at hand. When we have that attitude and we say, everything else is secondary, we're way behind even that. Right now what matters is seeing the work of God done. We'll put aside our petty squabbles, we'll put aside our secondary interests, we'll put aside our selfish desires, and we'll be challenged to see, it doesn't matter what happens aside from this one thing, that the work of God goes forward, that the work of God is done, that the will of God is accomplished, that people's lives are changed. And when we learn to long for that and care for that and desire that and seek that, lives will be changed because God will be faithful. He always does His work. There's always somewhere where He's desiring to work. And He's looking for people through whom to do it. And yet, are we seeking that? Do we long for that? If we wish to see the work of God done, we must put it first. And we must be hungering and thirsting and longing and desiring to see the work of God done and accomplished. Pastor. Amen.